You have aligned to the Wisconsin Department of Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Wisconsin has more than 19,000 adults in state correctional facilities. As of the most recent census, more than 500 inmates are currently in quarantine, according to the corrections COVID dashboard, and 32 inmates have died from COVID in this pandemic. Is your loved one incarcerated? How are they doing in these times? 800-642-1234. Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate, and it's great to be with you again.
Good morning. So the Department of Corrections started allowing in-person visits again on July 6th. How do these visits compare to what it was like before the pandemic?
Interestingly, the rate of in-person visitation is roughly 50 to 60% of what it was prior to the pandemic. What we found is one of the most popular, strategies that we implemented to afford the persons in our care to maintain contact with their loved ones was Zoom visits, using technology to enable folks to stay connected. That remains extremely popular. As you know, a number of our facilities are located in various areas around the state, and the virtual visits enable people to visit without having to engage in those long trips.
Inmates being farther away from their families, these families have been using Zoom, and that seems to be something that is really carried forward in this pandemic.
Absolutely.
Are visitors required to be vaccinated?
No, they're not. But, you know, following the CDC guidance, we still require that visitors to our facilities remain masked, and we have our visiting room set up in a socially distanced way. So those are the requirements for people to visit our facilities.
Can you be a little more specific? Are inmates able to hug their family members, for instance?
No, they're not at this time.
How long is it taking to schedule these in-person visits?
Well, people, they can schedule a visit the way that they always have by contacting the individual facilities. And we are working on a computerized scheduling program so people can utilize technology to conveniently schedule themselves for a visit. But that won't be in place until early fall.
How are Zoom visits facilitated in terms of how these families log on, how these visits are scheduled?
Well, with the Zoom visits, it's remarkable. We have dedicated space in each facility where we have the necessary technology, the computer system, the video screen, what have you, for the persons on our end of the visit to schedule a visit with their loved one. And on the other end, all you need is a cell phone or a computer screen or a tablet in order for you to log in on Zoom to be able to conduct the visit with your loved one.
We're talking with Kevin Carr, who's Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections, as we check in on pandemic protocols and how facilities are responding. You can join in. Do you have a loved one in one of Wisconsin's correctional facilities? Have you been able to visit them? Perhaps you used a Zoom visit. Will you continue to do that or make in-person visits? 800-642-1234. Secretary, Wisconsin's correctional institutions had almost 11,000 cases of COVID, 32 COVID-related deaths at last check, but the pandemic appears to now not be under control with the Delta variant. What is the status currently in your facilities?
I'm glad you asked that question, Kate. Currently, as of this morning, we only have one active case among persons in our care. And I'm happy to say that that number has been zero on many days over the last month. In fact, during the last month or two, we've not had more than two or three active cases on any day since mid-June. But like many communities around the state, our institutions saw a high positive case rate last fall, and then those numbers started to fall at the beginning of this year. And after vaccinations began, they continued to drop even more.
What do you think is making the difference? Is it the vaccinations?
I certainly do. And I can tell you that right now, the current vaccination rate of persons in our care is just about 70%. As I heard earlier on your program, statewide, that rate is just under 50%. So I believe that the higher rate of vaccinations in our facility is definitely helping us curb the prevalence of the virus in our system.
You have hundreds of inmates, though, in quarantine. What does that entail?
Well, that's because we have at our reception center at Dodge Correctional, we take in about 180 persons a week. And, you know, they come from county jails all over the state. So as a matter of protocol, and it's a recommendation to quarantine these folks initially upon arrival because we don't know what their vaccination rate, vaccination status is all the time. And we want to make sure that they don't have COVID and spread it throughout the system. So as you can imagine, if you're taking in almost 200 people a week, you know, in a month, you know, that's 800 people. But as people get out of quarantine, you know, you're putting more people back in. And that's why there's always around 400 or 500 people on quarantine.
Why do you think the vaccination status is in question? Shouldn't you be able to just look up to see if someone is vaccinated or not?
Sure, but we do use the registry to verify that, and we have asked the local county jails to provide us with that information if they have it. But oftentimes, you know, that information is not readily available to our staff. So we have to determine that upon admission.
What have been the biggest barriers to vaccinating inmates and staff?
Well, you know, realistically, I think the same things that are impacting the general population, you know, questions about side effects and vaccine hesitancy issues that have a historical nature, just a general lack of mistrust. But as I said earlier, 70% of our folks in our care have decided to get the vaccine. And just this past week, we started to provide the persons in our care with more information about the Delta variant because of, you know, the increase in the number of cases statewide. And we wanted to provide people with as much information as we could in order to try to change their minds about getting the vaccine. We're not satisfied with 70%. I'd love to see it a whole lot higher. But, you know, and we're working towards that through education and communication with the persons in our care and our staff.
We have Correction Secretary Kevin Carr as we check in on how correctional facilities are managing amid the Delta variant and at this point in the pandemic. Are you a current or former inmate in one of Wisconsin's prisons? How do you think the state is managed in these times? What services do you think that inmates should have access to? Join in, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Secretary Carr here on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with Department of Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr. Across all the state correctional facilities, nearly 11,000 inmates have tested positive for COVID since the pandemic started. More than 2,600 Corrections Department staff have had COVID. That's the latest from DOC's COVID dashboard. What do you want to know about vaccines, quarantine, isolation, conditions inside facilities? Do you work in corrections? What would you like to share? Join in 800-642-1234. Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr is with us for about 9 more minutes. Secretary, as you offer these remote video visits to inmates and family, how long do you expect this to continue?
Well, one of the lessons learned during the pandemic was how we could leverage the use of technology to our benefit to provide more services to the persons in our care. And that's exactly what the Zoom visits have provided us. But we are also leveraging technology in a way to provide more programming to persons in our care and on supervision around the state, meaning that if you live in northern Wisconsin and you're on supervision and you require a certain type of programming that's not available in that area, we're providing the opportunity for those individuals to get that programming virtually. Some counseling we're doing virtually in our facilities, and telehealth is another thing that we're also utilizing now. Those benefits or those technological aspects of how we operate are going to continue well into the future.
And last time we talked, you had talked about how you've had to really curtail normal activities, normal in air quotes, like around education and programming and recreation, in order to kind of not move inmates around. Have any of those picked back up?
Absolutely. As of July 6th, we have begun to normalize our operations throughout the system. So that means that we're engaging in work release, we're doing project crews. A project crew is a group of folks in our care that go outside of the secure confines to perform some sort of community service, like when there's bad weather and a whole bunch of trees have been knocked down or something like that. We perform those types of things. We're going back out into the community now. So we have resumed education, recreation, most programming, and as I said earlier, work release and our project crews.
There was a Pew study recently reported that the pandemic has highlighted how expensive it is for inmates to call home. The prison telecommunications industry, it generates an estimated $1.4 billion a year. What is Wisconsin doing to reduce the cost to inmates in keeping in touch with their loved ones?
Well, during the pandemic, we have been offering 2 free phone calls every week for every person in our care. So that's one thing that we're doing, and we have not changed that policy yet. The revenue issue as it relates to persons in our care making phone calls is controlled by the legislature. It is actually in the law that we have to, charge folks in our care for using the telephone to a certain degree. But to the extent that we can provide free phone calls, we are.
We're talking with Kevin Carr, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections, which supervises more than 19,000 incarcerated people. You can join in with your questions, especially amid COVID, 800-642-1234. Secretary, let's look at vendors. The Corrections Department decided last month to reduce the number of vendors it contracts with to supply goods to inmates. And instead of 3, you're going down to 1, the California-based Union Supply Group. Why is this happening?
Well, there are multiple reasons, Kate, but mainly efficiency, which we believe will lead to better service for the persons in our care and get a better warranty response on behalf of the persons in our care from the vendors. Previously, when we had 3 vendors, and we currently do right now up until October 1st, we had staff that had to act as a go-between for the persons in our care and three different vendors. Now we'll have a single point of contact for DOC and persons in our care to address concerns with their orders. Second, we wanted to simplify the ordering process and have a standardized catalog for the persons in our care and their loved ones. DOC vendors can update catalogs every 6 months, and with three vendors, we had three different catalogs that were changing twice a year. We want to simplify that process for the persons in our care and have a standardized look with a clear ordering path for the purchase of approved items. We believe that that is going to ultimately provide the best service for the persons in our care with an expanded catalog of items that they can choose from.
But, you know, competition is what holds down prices in our economies, and advocates are worried that one vendor will lead to more expensive prices and slower delivery for essential items like toothpaste, like shampoo. What will the department do to ensure that price hikes don't happen?
Well, we have negotiated a contract that we think addresses that issue adequately. We do not want any price gouging or the folks in our care to pay more than they have to for anything. We are advocating on their behalf in this contract to ensure that they get the things that they want at a reasonable price.
Does switching from multiple vendors still comply with state administrative code?
It absolutely does. In fact, there's no question that, this was a competitive process where it was very clear that our intention was to have a single vendor contract. The three vendors competed, and two of the three were not awarded the contract. Now, one of the vendors submitted a protest to DOC.
The Milwaukee vendor,
The Milwaukee vendor did, and it was denied by DOC. And then it was reviewed by the Department of Administration to see if, there was anything wrong with the process and whether the award was done properly. And the appeal to DOA was denied. So, the process was a fair and open process. And, I think if the Milwaukee vendor had won, we wouldn't be having this discussion. But Union Supply, even though you said it's a California-based company, and which it is, under the administrative rules, they are considered a Wisconsin company because they have a warehouse here, and they happen to employ people from Wisconsin.
What about families who can't pay with a credit card or who aren't tech-savvy to shop online this way?
Well, there are several alternatives to for a person to use in order to, if you're wanting to buy something for your loved one who's in custody, you can use Visa, MasterCard, cashier's check, money order, personal checks, and cash through any participating ACE Cash Express location. And the folks in our care, they will be able to have any type of support that they need in order to facilitate them accessing the property purchase system.
Switching gears here in the last minute we have together, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake detention centers had been ordered to close by July 1, but as of the latest census, Lincoln Hills continued to house 51 boys, Copper Lake 9 girls. What do you expect the state will be able to close these facilities?
Well, this is a complicated subject with a lot of history, but the short version is that we're waiting on legislative action. In 2019, this administration submitted a plan to the legislature for two new youth facilities, which they, rejected. Then, in the next budget cycle, the one that we're in right now, earlier this year, Governor Evers proposed $45 million for a new secure youth facility in Milwaukee County, and that was also rejected. Now, they did, however, allocate $4 million for the Department of Corrections to start doing design and development and site acquisition, which we hope to complete in the near future, next few months, to be honest with you. But the governor and the Department of Corrections, we want to see those new facilities built as soon as possible so we can get those kids closer to home, where they can get culturally competent programming, and we can have a more diverse workforce.
Secretary Carr, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Kevin Carr, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. News update is next on the Ideas Network.